This morning's responsive reading by the congregation came from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 27. So if you take your Bibles, I invite you to come along and join us in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 27. As you read this, you will find a contrast between one who is about to honor God with his or her life versus the individual who chooses to abandon sound wisdom, sound counsel, taken from the scriptures, given by a godly parent or a grandparent, or some spiritual mentor that has come into their life, and they're trying to take an individual and put that individual on a proper path for their life. Now, once again, nobody is saved by works, by doing good things. No one is saved by finding that narrow path and living on it and living a certain way, and somehow that's going to merit them everlasting life. We're not going there. The Bible teaches us that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We understand that, biblically speaking. What we're talking about here is somebody who is saved, and now they're being given direction and how to work out their life as a believer. Not to become one, but since you are one, what do you do with your life? How do you direct your steps? Well, by taking God's word like a compass and following it, following that point to the compass that points in only one direction, and that direction is towards heaven itself, guided by the word of God, moving the needle, directing you and pointing you in the way you should go. Look at verse 20 of our reading. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Once again, we see the urgency on the part of the parent to the child to arrest or to captivate or to capture the mind and the heart and the thinking and the very passion of a young person. Here is the adult figure, the older figure, trying to reach with all that's within him, reaching to a younger person and trying to grab their mind and their heart, their will, their passion, their energy, and pointing it in the right direction. And notice verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. So once again, we are cautioning an individual. Now, even if a person is not saved, if they follow these simple guidelines, they may not land themselves in prison. They may not come to an untimely death. They will not fall with the wrong crowd and then start earning themselves a rap sheet that is longer as the distance between earth and the moon, in a manner of speaking. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. So notice the symbolism. You have the pathway of the wicked, okay, and you have the idea of the way of evil men. Those are two phrases that are complementing each other. We're told, enter not, right? And then it says, go not. So notice the Hebrew parallelism as words are complementing or amplifying or defining each other. And so we're being given a picture of a person walking. He's walking in a certain direction. And there's temptations. There's the pull of the world that wants to deviate that individual from the proper path into a pathway that will lead to destruction. But then notice verse 15. How much energy, how much passion, how much heart do you find in the very gut of the parent? Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. I mean, how much can a father or a mother look at their child as they get older, and now this child is at a certain age where one wrong move, or one wrong influence, or one wrong group of kids or classmates can easily stir that kid in the wrong direction. And when you look at verse 15, I think the greatest example of seeing this put into application is young Joseph, when Potiphar's wife came upon him daily, urging him to lie with her. And in the end, what did he do? He ran for his life. He ran for his very soul's sake. And he ended up going to prison for doing the right thing. And so I think verses 15, you want to take verse 15 and put that alongside that chapter way back yonder in the book of Genesis, where you find Joseph fleeing out of the room from Potiphar's wife and her constant egging on, her constant nagging to lie with her. And then verses 16 and 17 kind of gives you a snapshot of the unbelieving world, the unbelieving gang members, those hoodlums that run the streets. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. How many crimes and how many burglaries and how many home invasions do you find being done at night when you have the darkness to hide the individuals? Now, we have people in our culture that are so bold and so brash, they're doing these things in full daylight. But normally, if someone is going to commit a crime, they wait until nighttime to enter into someone's home or a business to rob, to plunder, or to steal, or to rape. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So verses 16 and 17 is a good description of the type of influence and the type of peer group that this parent is warning his child to avoid. Don't go around. Don't hang with them. But then verse 18 is a contrast. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. So you take verse 18 and you contrast that with verses 16 and 17. Then you contrast that with verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So notice the contrast between verses 18 and 19. You have those who are walking in the path of light. Okay, those who are truly saved, those who are of a pure heart, versus those who have not been touched by the grace of God, who have not been transformed by the transforming power of the gospel. Notice the difference and the contrast. Then in verses 20 to 22, again, we find the pleading of the Father. Let them not depart from thine eyes, verse 21. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to their flesh. So not only do you see the spiritual benefits of taking to heart the book of Proverbs, there is that physical, natural blessing that comes naturally, okay, physically, earthly, upon those who are willing simply to follow God's word. And then verses 23 to 27, I believe for some of you, has become the compass for your spiritual journey. Keep thy heart with all diligence. So this is work. It takes work to guard your heart. Going to church for a couple of hours on Sunday, that's good, but that's not sufficient in and of itself. When it talks about keeping one's heart diligently, we're not talking about the organ that's pumping blood in your body right now. We're talking about your life, your footsteps, your behavior, your journey in this world. And you're to keep it with all diligence. You're supposed to guard it like if you were a soldier on sentry duty. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Take this, and if you remember the passage in Mark chapter 7, when the Pharisees were getting on Christ because him and his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate, and therefore they accused them of being ceremoniously unclean. What did Jesus tell them? It's not what goes in the body that defiles a man, but what comes out of his heart. And then Jesus gives a laundry list of the fruits of a wicked heart, correct? Well, notice here, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it flows the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, that means a lying tongue, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. You find a phrase in the Old Testament that is quite repeated. Look not to the right, look not to the left, but look straight on. That's what this is. If you're going to keep your heart with all diligence, beloved, you cannot be distracted on what might be to the right hand of you or the left hand of you that is going to draw you or pull you with its allurements to fall into a ditch. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. There it is. Remove thy foot from evil. So again, only a true believer can work this out in his or her life. But even if the unbeliever, who has the remotest respect for the Bible as being the Word of God, and there are many who are not saved, but they at least consider the Bible to be a holy book, if you just take this and put it into practice, even as a lost person, there will be benefits in the physical realm of life. Now, it won't lead to salvation. But a person who's willing to simply obey the scriptures at face value will save themselves from many a hurt and many a pain. Well, may God choose to bless his word.